And I love the reminder of the promise that that song is, raising a hallelujah. I like the verse, "My weapon is a melody." Teresa always gives me a whale of a hard time about my lack of singing ability. And see, my weapon is a melody. It drives her away. It can drive darkness away. All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good to get to worship with you. I love, one of my favorite things to do is to stop singing and just to listen to you. And I love to hear you when you're passionate and excited about praising and worshiping Jesus together. That is, I mean, I have tears in my eyes. You're blurry. Blurrier than normal because of the tears in my eyes. My prayer as we were singing is that I hope there's 100 people walking down Camp Street right now listening to us raising up a hallelujah because of how good and powerful our God is. Yeah, all right. So I've shared with you a lot of things over the last couple of years, but about our family, Teresa homeschools our children, and one of my favorite things as a father, one of my favorite things is to have my kids come to me and ask questions. I love that. I love to hear their heart and where they're at and what it is that they're wondering, what they're questioning. Caleb is the perfect age for that. He's 10 and sitting right here with us. He asks me 10 questions a day, and I love it. I love to hear his heart. I wonder if he remembers any of the answers. I don't know. But I love when I answer, he's like, okay. And then he goes on for a few minutes, and then he has another question. And they're great questions, really, really good ones. Give me your cell numbers, and I'll have him call you with some of the questions sometimes. But the point is, questions are cool. Questions reveal a lot about a person, where they're at. I like this quote from the author Voltaire. And the quote says, I love this, "Judge a man by his questions rather than his answers." Let that one sink in for just a minute. Judge a man by his questions rather than his answers. Again, the credit to Voltaire. Interesting thought. I looked up Google, because Google knows everything. I looked up what are like life's biggest questions, just to see what popped up. And so there were some questions that popped up, and I wrote them down here in my notes. Here's some of, not mine, but just life's biggest questions. What is reality? What is the meaning of life? Do we have free will? Is the universe deterministic? What is consciousness? I know some of these questions keep you up at night. Will we ever have a theory of everything? And then maybe one of the most important, what happens after we die? Big questions. Good questions. I know Dave Adolphson, super evangelistic. He loves to share Jesus with everybody. And his go-to question for people is, what do you think happens after you die? Man, does that open up a door for sharing Jesus. What do we think happens after? Well, I hope we have an idea of that answer. But then I believe that those are great questions that we all maybe wrestle with at times or whatever, dinner conversation. But I think the biggest question of all, really the largest question in all of the universe, is what about Jesus? What about this Jesus? Who is Jesus? What do we know about Jesus? That, I believe, is the single greatest question in all of eternity. There's a poem. I believe the author is unknown. It's gone through several different kind of revisions. This is from the 1800s, I believe, but I love this poem, "One Solitary Life." Allow me to read this to you. Speaking, well, you tell me if you can tell maybe who this poem is about. "He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village, where he worked as a carpenter in a carpenter shop until he was 30. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things usually associated with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property that he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 21 centuries have come and gone, and today Jesus is the central figure of the human race and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as this one solitary life. I love that poem. It speaks absolute mountains and volumes to our faith, to the answer to that question, what about Jesus? What about this Jesus? See, time itself, all existence is centered around Jesus, the Christ. What about Jesus? What do we know about Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Today we're in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And let me set the stage real quick. This is truly some of the most monumental, magnificent verses in all of Scripture. Not to take anything away from any other, but for those of you that have been coming a long time, this is some of my favorite verses right here. Incredible. The book of John, very neat, unique, and special. We have four Gospels, the good news according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then finally John. The three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we call those the synoptic Gospels because they're synonymous. They basically tell the exact same story from three different perspectives, some more detail, some less, some focus on certain stories where others don't, but they're synonymous. Then we have John coming much, much later. John, the Apostle John, wrote this book to fill in the gaps that Matthew, Mark, and Luke didn't cover. But primarily, the number one point to John's gospel to us is to show you and I, people throughout the ages, the absolute, perfect, true, undeniability that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and that Jesus is fully God. That's why we have the book of John. At the very end, John says, I write this book that you, the reader, may believe in Jesus, the Messiah, and have your life changed for all of eternity. Super cool. I mean, that is awesome. I love all of God's word. I love the Gospels. I especially love John because of the whole deity of Christ being so clearly spelled out. That's where we're at today. All right, the book of John, chapter 1. I'm going to read 1 through 5 this morning. Oh, buckle your seatbelts. I love this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were created through Him. And apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of man. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Pray with me. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we can gather and to truly raise up a hallelujah, to sing your praises and to worship you. Oh Lord, I thank you for your word, and Lord, I thank you for this message that you've given to me. And Father, I pray that you will take it, your truth, your word, this message, and speak through me this morning boldly and clearly. Father, I ask you to open up each of our hearts and our minds to better understand who you are and what you've done, who you really are, and then how it is that we can worship and serve you. So Lord, we love you and thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and the whole church said, amen. The idea behind today's sermon, this message, is that all of us, really all humanity, can understand the answer to this question about what about Jesus from this passage of Scripture. We can get that answer, at least the beginning of the answer to that monumental question, right here in this passage. All right, let's jump in verse 1, the first part of verse 1. In the beginning. So we probably have to stop right there and just ask ourselves, in the beginning of what? The beginning of what? Super cool thing. See, John, he was the only disciple to die of old age. All the other disciples were killed a martyr's death, and John died of old age. So John had the advantage of seeing the early church go, seeing how things were going, to read the other gospels, and to share firsthand eyewitness account to who this Jesus of Nazareth really was. And he says, in the beginning. Have you ever heard those words before if you've read the Bible? Even if you've read the first couple words of the Bible, the answer is yes, absolutely. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, John absolutely, positively, purposefully used those words to talk about Jesus as the beginning. In the beginning of what? Well, in our human consciousness, it's hard for us to grasp and fathom this. By the way, this today is not Christianity 101. This is definitely some deeper stuff. The beginning of what? How about the beginning of time? The beginning of time as we can understand it. The beginning of space. The beginning of creation. The beginning of the material universe that we can see, that we can touch, that we can, at least on some level, begin to grasp and fathom in the beginning of all of those things. And as difficult or challenging as that may be for us in our fleshly, finite minds to grasp, the next word helps. In the beginning was. I like that word was. It's a very important word. Don't underestimate it. In the beginning was. Now Matthew and Mark, speaking of the synoptic gospels, Matthew and Luke record Jesus's human genealogy. Matthew and Luke go into great detail recording the genealogy of Jesus, his earthly family tree, the God-man and his relatives, those that were a part of his family. It's pretty neat and cool to see how God used even pagan women, non-Israelites, non-Hebrews, to bring about the Savior of the world. Matthew and Luke talk about Jesus' humanity and his human family tree. John talks about Jesus' deity and his pre-existent eternal nature. Before God spoke the universe into being, Jesus was. Jesus was. Now the great question, I've even gotten this at times, does God have a beginning? We see a beginning. Clearly there was a big bang. God spoke it and bang, there were stars and planets and the sun and all the cool stuff out there, the earth, and God spoke everything into existence. Does God have a beginning? What about God? Whew. Probably some of you in here can answer that question even greater than I, but the answer is God has no beginning. God is eternal. Creation is not. Creation had a beginning. God doesn't. God always was. You and I, we have a birthday. We celebrate it every year. Well, maybe some of us celebrate them less as we have more of them, but we have a beginning. The universe has a beginning. All of those things have beginnings, created things. The glory of a smallmouth bass has a beginning. I've expected a little more from that one, but Okay. A walleye. A crappie. Yeah, there you go. Has a beginning right after God created the smallmouth. Then he created other things lesser importance. All right, so actually I'm loving my walleye. I'm absolutely loving it. So thanks for taking me, guys, helping me learn about this stuff. But the point is, God does not have a beginning. You and I and all created things, we are finite. We do have a beginning. God always was. That's what it means to be eternal. In the beginning was. In the beginning of all those things was. God was already there. In the beginning was what? And the scripture says was the Word. Man, I love that. I love that word to describe Jesus. I can remember, I believe it was the first time I read this. I went to my wife and I said, "Baby, what's the word? Like, in the beginning was the Bible? Was that what it's talking about?" And I could see her eyes light up because she knew the answer to that question, that I was asking her some hard questions. This is way back in the day. And she's like, "Oh no, that's Jesus. That's Jesus, look." And she walked me through John 1, and I said, "Oh my word, that's Jesus. In the beginning of everything was already the Word." That's super cool, so cool. If you remember back at Genesis, if you started reading the Bible and you got past verse 1 and verse 2, you came to verse 3, and it says that God spoke and there was light. God spoke his word, created light, and there was light, and God called it day. He saw it was good. The light was good, and he called it day, and then he separated the light from the darkness, and the darkness he called night. So cool. God always was, and God spoke, and there was light. And have you ever heard that maybe Jesus is the light of the world? And now we know that Jesus is the Word of God, and Jesus spoke it, and it was. Jesus is the Word of God. Wow. Get this quote. If you're a scholar, if you're a thinker, you're going to love this one. Here's a quote. I think it's John MacArthur. "God's word is his powerful self-expression in creation, wisdom, revelation, and salvation identified in the person of Jesus." That did not come from me. Read it one more time. "God's word is his powerful self-expression in creation, in wisdom, in revelation, and in salvation identified in the person of Jesus." Isn't that cool? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow, like I said, if you're visiting with us today, this is absolutely not like Christianity 101. We're getting into the heart of who Jesus is. We're looking at that most important of life's questions. What about Jesus? Everyone will stand in judgment one day and be held accountable for how we handle this question. What about Jesus? And I think the number one thing is that we get this. John 1:1. Who in the world is this Jesus? In the beginning, he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was already with God. But wait, the Word also was God. What about Jesus? You got to know this. Like, this is key and crucial, huge, important doctrine to our faith. Sometimes folks ask me the great question, what about all these other religions? Hinduism, Buddhism, Scientology. What about Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness? What about all these other religions out there in the world? Are there truth to some of those things? And I love to have this discussion. I love to answer this question because it's really, really simple. It seems complicated. And if you get into the details, it can be. But I like to look from the aerial view at the big picture. In the big picture, all other religions in the world ever in existence are unanimous and united in one fact. They all are emphatic that Jesus Christ is not God. Then you have Christianity, polar opposite, absolutely, emphatically, undeniably, Jesus Christ is God. Always was and always will be radically different. All the world's religions lumped into two simple categories. What about Jesus? What do we know about Jesus? You see, both ideas cannot be correct. I know it's popular today. It's been popular for some time. Some of you may have family members. Maybe you're even in here this morning with the idea that, well, aren't we all just headed in the same direction? Aren't we all these religions, all peoples of the world, aren't we just headed to the same God? It doesn't really matter how you get there. We're going to the same place. And I've heard this one, if you're just very sincere about what you believe, then surely God will accept you for whatever that belief may be. That's common. It's not accurate. It's not right. It's simply not correct. Where do you stand on what about Jesus? Who is this Jesus? I believe with everything that I am, my entire existence, that Jesus, the Christ, is absolutely fully God. He is the God-man. We're going to talk more about that. Can you tell I'm a little excited about this? I hope you are too. This is huge. This is good stuff. All right, both can't be right. Both can't be correct. Here is a positive glimpse at the second person in the Trinity, the second part of the Holy Trinity. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. Jesus, the Word, in intimate fellowship with God, with God the Father throughout all of eternity. All right, what about this word Trinity? It's never in the Bible. What do we know about the Trinity? Great question. By the way, I am like so here for you. I am here to answer your questions, to have glorious coffee in my office. We can sit down anytime and talk in such detail about any of these things. So if you have questions, write them down. Get a hold of the office. Let me know. Please schedule an appointment. Don't just drop in. But I'd love to visit anytime. We'll make an appointment. We'll sit down and talk way more details. But let's talk about the Trinity for a minute. So there's lots of ways to discuss this, lots of ways to think about this, but let's use me for an example for a second. And no, I'm not saying that I'm God. Teresa might think that sometimes. Can I get an amen? Okay, no, don't. I'm not saying I'm God, but let's use me for an example. I am three different parts. I have three different roles. I'm Kurt. I'm Pastor Kurt. I'm also a son. I have parents, mom and dad, if you're watching. Good morning. Hello. I'm a son. I'm also a father. I have children. And then I'm also a husband. I'm married to Teresa. And so I have three different roles. I'm one person. I actually have more than that. I've got multiple roles. But I'm three primary roles, husband, father, son as well. One person. When I talk with mom and dad, I am, oh, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, you know, no, sir, whatever, very, very respectful. And I do what mom and dad, well, basic. Most of the time I do what mom and dad say, but it's a different role. Then I have a very different role with my wife and a radically different role with my children. I've got to act like an adult with my kids. Not always with Teresa, thankfully, but I've got to act like an adult at times. And sometimes I really do. Three different parts, same person. God is three different parts, equal but separate. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, each unique and separate, but also completely unified and together. One God, three parts, three different roles, one God always throughout all of eternity. I remember when I was reading Genesis, I mean, I'm talking many years ago. I'm reading at the beginning and God said, or the Bible says, let us make man in our image. I said, Teresa, what's this? What's our image? Us? What is he talking about? And again, her eyes lit up and that's talking about the Trinity. And oh, okay, well, I don't understand it, but I'll keep reading anyway. And today, I understand that God is God. He always has been. He's eternal, and he's also three parts, cool, awesome, equal, but separate parts. And here's the crazy cool thing about the Word, about Jesus, God the Son. This is so cool. While Jesus was always pre-existent, as God in heaven and in communion with the Father, Jesus, the God-man, also humbled himself and became a man. Jesus left the glory and the honor that he deserved in heaven. He left that and he humbled himself and came to earth and became a man, born of a virgin. And he lived a perfect, sinless life. He was God with us, where we get the word Emmanuel. We talk about that a lot at Christmas. He was God with us. And Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, the one that you and I were created to live but didn't. He did for us. He fulfilled and completed and accomplished the law. Everything that we were supposed to do, Jesus did. And then Jesus lovingly and willingly went to the cross and gave his life, his blood, there on Calvary's cross. And he was dead as the Lamb of God, once and for all, final payment for mankind's sin. They took Jesus down and buried him in a tomb. And he rose again back to life on the third day. And he, Jesus, the Word of God, defeated sin and death and hell forever. And now, by God's grace, through our faith, we can be saved and forgiven of our rebellion and made right in God's eyes. That's cool. Jesus, the God-man, humbled himself and became obedient. Philippians says, to the point of death, even death on the cross. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Are you getting that point? Is John getting that through to us? Man, Jesus was God. John is emphasizing that Jesus is the Word of God, and he had all the essence and attributes fully of the deity of God himself. Jesus, the Messiah, fully God. Jesus in the flesh, when he was walking on earth, he never ceased being fully God, while he also was fully man. Wrap your brains around that one for a minute. Jesus took on human nature and a human body, but he never lost his deity. And verse 2 reiterates that. Well, I'll read verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. Jesus always was. Jesus is the Word of God, the spoken Word. By the way, this will be a two-part series. We'll finish this off the following week after Minnesota Teen Challenge, and we'll look into more of these crazy cool things. But Jesus is the Word of God. He always equally existing fully as God. And that's where verses like John 3:16 really begin to speak to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's where verses like Romans 5:8 really speak to us. It says God proved his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Jesus came and died for us. Understanding who Jesus is makes Scripture just come alive and makes it make so much more sense. Today we get a glimpse, just a glimpse, at the monumental answer to the monumental question, the biggest question of all time. What about Jesus? Pray with me. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Word. Lord, thank you for how clearly and simply you have shared with us exactly who you are. God the Son, God the Father, God the Spirit, you're God in three parts. And Lord, thank you for your revelation to us. And Lord, I pray now in the name of Jesus that each of us don't just simply brush this truth off, but that we go home and we ponder this reality of you and your deity and your humanity and your love, also your righteousness, your justice, and the coming judgment for the guilty. And Lord, I pray that each one that hears this message or that we encounter will rightly answer the question about, what about Jesus? Lord, we pray for for lives to be changed, for souls to be saved. Lord, we pray that you will make us new from the inside out through your power. And Lord, may you be richly blessed and glorified through our lives, through our sacrificial life on this earth. Lord, we love you. We seek to know you and we seek to serve you. Oh Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.